morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Summer is on its way. Yeah, 33 today, they reckon. It's spring, but, and I was driving to church on a Tuesday morning a couple of weeks ago, and I noticed that many of the seedlings that have been planted next to the new Tonkin stretch of Tonkin Highway up my way were now in full bloom. There were scores and scores and scores of colourful kangaroo paws waving at me as I drove by. Have we got a picture there? I love kangaroo paws. They're such an unusual flower, aren't they? I was fascinated by them when I first came to Australia many, many moons ago, because their colloquial name really describes what they look like. To me, they look like a skippy Christmas kangaroo paw waving at you. Look, what do you reckon? He's waving. Anyway, the sun was shining. The bush along the side of the road looked lush because of all the rain we've had, and a happy song began to play on the radio. I was listening to 98.5, the Christian station, and the song went something like this. Ooh, ooh, this is gonna be the best day of my life. My life, ooh. Ooh, this is gonna be the best day of my life. My life. Who's heard that one? Yep. Now, when I first got into my car, I had a bit of a headache happening. Not nice, poor me. But as I experienced this beautiful day that was also happening around me, I quickly became overwhelmed with how blessed I am as a Christian. And although I knew that the song that I was singing wasn't a Christian song, I began to think it should be. I make a lot of songs Christian songs. Do you? Yeah, well, this one. Ooh, ooh, this is gonna be the best day of my life. My life. Ooh, ooh, this is gonna be the best day of my life. My life. When you know Jesus, why can't every day begin like it's going to be the best day of your life? Why? After reading scripture for most of my life, I think it's a given that every day should start off as if it's going to be the best day of your life. I'm telling you, on that Tuesday morning, I rapidly went from having a headache to experiencing Holy Ghost goosebumps. Who's had Holy Ghost goosebumps? I get them all the time when I pray for other people, when I hear a testimony. This day I got them. It was great. Holy Ghost goosebumps are the best. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful world that you have made. I thank you that as Christians we get the privilege of seeing you in it. You are an awesome God, and your magnificent creation gives us endless pleasure. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as we look into your word and see just how good you are to us. Amen. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 4, starting at verses 14. But before I read, I want to give you a bit of a backdrop to this scripture. In this scripture, we're right at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. He's around what age when he started his ministry? Around the age of 30. He has just been baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist, which resulted in Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. God the Father, who is everywhere, and God is Jesus. He is in bodily form as Jesus, but he was, is also everywhere at the same time. That's what makes God God. He's omnipresent. God spoke when Jesus came out of the water at his baptism and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus was immediately filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then being led by the Holy Spirit, he spent 40 days in the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. But he did not succumb to the temptation. Jesus was tempted by the devil himself. Now, it's highly likely that the devil doesn't even know who you are, let alone tempt you. The devil's not everywhere all the time like God is. We are tempted by Satan's horde of demons. But Jesus had Satan himself tempting him to do wrong. But he overcame temptation as a Holy Spirit-filled man. And this amazing episode, after this amazing episode, the scripture says in Luke 4, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He obviously was a great teacher, but he was more than a great teacher. He was filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit as he taught. As Christians, we all want to do things well for Jesus, but more than doing things well, I want to be filled and empowered by his Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled and empowered, and everyone praised him. Verse 16, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He's come back to his hometown now. Things are often different in your hometown. The people you grow up with are often blasé about any special gifting you might have. It's hard to impress family and close friends. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. People respected the word of God so much at this time that they stood to read it. I think that's pretty cool. What a wonderful custom. They stood to read the word of God. Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, do you know how many chapters there are in the book of Isaiah? There are 66 chapters. And back then, the chapters, they didn't have chapters. It was just one big long scroll of writing. No verses, no chapters. Can you imagine how hard it would have been for him to find Isaiah 61? Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Wow. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He knew it was, because he's just been 40 days in the wilderness and he got baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit of the Lord is now on him. And Jesus said, "Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then the scripture says that he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. They're not quite sure what he's going to say about this amazing scripture yet, but whatever it is, it's got to be good, because Jesus has been doing some amazing things since he came back to Galilee. And then when the people couldn't handle the suspense any longer, Jesus spoke and he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. How blessed they were. They just witnessed God's greatest proclamation from God himself about himself. The Lord Jesus Christ had recently been filled with the Spirit at his baptism and by the power of the Holy Spirit had personally overcome the temptation of the devil in the wilderness, is now letting the Israelites in his hometown synagogue know that the Spirit of the Lord is on him because he has anointed him to proclaim good news to the poor. He has set him to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was big news right from the mouth of God. He didn't send angels. God was speaking it. Jesus is saying, "I've come to set you free." The Bible says, all who were there spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. In response, they said things like, "Isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter? Could Joseph's son really be the Messiah, the one we've all been waiting for so long, to set us free from the tyranny of the Romans?" All Jews knew at that time that a Messiah was going to be born who would set them free. But their idea of freedom was very different to God's idea of freedom. For the freedom they had in mind was rather limited and earthbound. As far as they were concerned, it was only going to be for them, the Jews, and not the whole world. The freedom that they had in mind was not a spiritually eternal freedom either. But because Jesus was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew exactly what they were thinking. He could clearly see what was ahead and how his redemption was not what they had in mind. So Jesus, on this day that had started so well, where the townsfolk were speaking well of him and were being amazed by his gracious words, Jesus was about to tell them some home truths of what lay ahead, of how they would reject him because he came to his own. But what does the Bible say? His own received him not. Jesus said in verse 23, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.'" When was something like that said later on? Who can think? When he was on the cross. Can you remember? And someone shouted out, "Save yourself. Physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. Elijah was sent to a Gentile widow to protect and feed him, not a Jew." And in verse 27, he said, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Elijah healed a Gentile man of leprosy, not a Jew. Jesus was telling his hometown folks that he's coming for them. They've had the privilege of hearing him first before anyone else, but they're not going to receive him. Most of them will actually reject him. And because of this, he's bringing the good news of freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free to the whole world, even the Roman world. Jesus has come to set the whole world free of oppression from the evil one, who he, on a personal level, has just dealt with in the wilderness. He's dealt with him. The Bible says, verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. That was a miracle. How did he do that? Because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. They didn't want this kind of savior. It's astonishing how fickle the crowd can be, isn't it? One minute they love him, the next minute they want to throw him off a cliff. That's people, yes. Okay, let's go back to the amazing scripture Jesus read, which caused such an explosive reaction, because this fourth chapter of Luke clearly demonstrates that Isaiah 61 is for us today. When it was originally written some 700 years previous, before Christ, it was thought to be for the Jewish race, the people of Israel. But God clearly shows us in Luke 4 that the scripture is for the whole world. It's for me. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. But it's for you too. This should be your experience if you're a Christian. So as I draw towards the end of this sermon, let's go to this beautiful chapter and be encouraged. I truly hope you will experience some Holy Spirit goosebumps as I read it for you. In fact, I want you to picture Jesus reading it to you, not me. It's Jesus, who's the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. Why? Because he's God. Isaiah 61. What was beautiful, that scripture you started off with today, it actually mirrors this. It reflects a lot of what this says. Isaiah 61. And I'm standing as I read the scripture. This is Jesus speaking to us. Get ready for it. You ready? Are you listening?
Yes.
Good. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, that's Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives of sin and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Ha 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 ha! That needs a laugh. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as a soil makes a sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Isn't that beautifully poetic? That is like a love song to you from God. And God speaks the truth. He sings this over you, people. This is yours. You couldn't wish for a better gift. You couldn't wish for a better blessing. Now, there might be things that you want in your life, but can I tell you, there's nothing as good as what God is offering you in Isaiah 61. You will be complete if you believe this and receive it. You will be complete in every way. Now, I've just read a lot of scripture, I know, and some of you may be thinking, what does it all mean? But it's all good for you if you know Jesus as your Saviour. Let me quickly select some of the delicious chocolates in this exquisite box of blessings for you to digest, all right? Because this is better than a box of chocolates, but that's the closest thing I think of. Not gold, not jewels, chocolate, you know. Chocolate's great. Jesus has come, okay, to heal our broken hearts. He's come to release us from darkness so that we're no longer slaves to sin. We've been singing it this morning, haven't we? We don't have to do what Satan tells us to do. We are not his slaves. We are servants of the living God, and we are his children, and we obey him with pleasure. Jesus has come to comfort us in our mourning. You know, there's been a number of times in my life when I've mourned. Jesus was always there, comforting me. Jesus has come to bestow on us life instead of death. Jesus has come to display us in a robe of righteousness. Doesn't get much brighter than a robe of righteousness. We can be displayed before God, and God will say, wow, they look beautiful. They look so beautiful because it's Jesus who they see and his righteousness, who God sees. Jesus has come to decorate us like a priest. Jesus has come to give us joy instead of mourning. Jesus has come to give us the ability to praise instead of a spirit of despair. A spirit of despair does not belong to a Christian. That is not ours. We have a spirit of praise because we continually, even through those despairing times, have hope in Him. Yeah. Amen? Jesus has come to rebuild, restore, and renew our lives. There's all the rewords for my gossip. She loves rewords. Jesus has come to rebuild, restore, and renew our lives. Jesus has come to bless our families. Jesus has come to replace our shame and disgrace with rejoicing. He's come to give us an inheritance that will be a double portion and will bring with it everlasting joy. Now, there'll be some people on this earth this week who will be having a huge inheritance come their way. But can I tell you, it will not bring them everlasting joy. It won't. Jesus has come to bring us such a great blessing that others will have to acknowledge that we are indeed blessed. You know, as the world gets darker, and it's getting dark out there, the church shines brighter. We are indeed blessed, people. We are blessed. And I finish with this delectable morsel. Could I have that picture, please, Jordan? We, church, will be called oaks. Great, big, beautiful trees of righteousness, which have been planted by the Lord for the display of His splendor. Now, that's splendor, isn't it? We, church, will be called oaks, great, big, beautiful trees of righteousness, which have been planted by the Lord for the display of His splendor. When I look at those lovely waving kangaroo paws planted by the landscapers along the Tonkin Highway, I go, wow, they're delightful. They make me feel good looking at them. But they're starting to fade now as summer draws close. But we, church, are not a little kangaroo paw. We are eternal oak trees which have been planted by God Himself. Your salvation has been given to you by God Himself, and we display His eternal splendor by the power of His Holy Spirit working in us. I'm waving my branches to you now. Ooh, ooh. Hey, who was going to sing that then? Was that you, Gaby? Was it? That was nicely in tune. That was good. Okay, we've got to do it, you and me. It wasn't you? You're pointing over there. Are you telling me the truth now? Kane, you tell the truth. Who was it?
It was Kevin.
It was Kevin. That's a lovely voice, Kevin. Do you want to come up and sing with me? Calling my bluff. This is going to be the best day of my life. This is why Jesus came, to give us the best days of our life. Start off every day as if it's the best day of your life, knowing that tomorrow will be even better as we get closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting old ain't a bad thing. Because we get closer to heaven, closer to His glory. But God intends us to enjoy life now. So enjoy it. This week I challenge you, get in your car as you go to work, put on a Christian song and sing and just glorify God and praise Him. And as you're singing, think of good things. Think of how good God is to you. You can even prophesy over your family as you're driving to work. Lord, I thank you that you love my children. I thank you that you're going to save them, or you have saved them. I thank you that you're protecting my family this day. I thank you that you are good to my church. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters in church. I pray today will be a good day for them. I pray that today they will see you in their day, and they will praise you in their day. Just drive to work seeing the world as God wants you to see it, filled with His love and His hope and His joy and His peace and His satisfaction. Amen?
Amen.
Every day can be the best day of your life.